This nation was founded by men of many nations and backgrounds. It was founded on the principle that all men are created equal.
Mayday, mayday. Going down.
You take your red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Human beings are a disease, a cancer of this planet.
I've seen it.
The power of Christ compels you! The power of Christ compels you! The power of Christ compels you! The power of Christ compels you!
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Swerve Podcast.
Welcome back for another week of shenanigans with the Swerve Podcast. If you're wondering what you've stumbled across, if you're a first-time listener, we are three random dudes on a mission to understand everything in the universe, one obscure topic at a time. So our premise is very simple. Every week we pick a topic that we don't really understand anything about or know anything about. And we research it, and then we dissect it on the fly during the podcast. We're trying to figure it out. And I mean, our topics, that's the name of the podcast. We swerve. We're swerving off the beaten path. They have nothing to do with the mainstream a lot of the times. Kind of out there niche topics. So, this week we're going to be getting into the Rycot structure or the Rechat structure. There's a few different ways you could pronounce it that I've heard. I'm going to stick with Rycot. Because it sounds good.
Rycot. Yeah, Rycot. Something like that.
We
better get it right because we might hurt someone's feelings if we mispronounce it. So
we have some important announcements, don't we?
That we do. You wonderful, wonderful fans, adoring people. Guess what we have in store for you? And that is Patreon. We have two exclusive tiers. Our $1 Ride That Wave tier will get you numerous shots on the Swerve Podcast, and it will get you never before heard episodes. Then, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, whatever you choose to identify as, we have our $3 tier, our slap that ass tier. With this, you will get never before heard episodes, numerous shout outs on the Swerve Podcast, and most importantly, you get early access to all of our episodes. This includes the Patreon episodes, the main episodes, the post-swerves. You get it all on Sunday nights. You'll be the person everyone's running to ask what the fuck is going on in this world, and you'll have the answers. We guarantee by going and subscribing to this, the new episodes you'll get to listen to, you'll be a smarter person for it. You will have more knowledge coming out of this than you did going into this. So consider doing that. $1 or $3 tier. But hey, every person thus far has subscribed to the $3 tier, and I would like to take this opportunity to thank those people. They are Humpy Joe, Satan Loves You, Sidestepping the Sun, Thomas Go, a realtor who you should buy your house from, and Giant Cock. But guess what? We have a new addition this week. This addition is Max Barnett. This person is legendary. He created his own tier. He created a $10 fucking tier. And hey, we love you. We applaud you. We appreciate you, good sir. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Fuck yeah. Agreed.
Hell yeah.
We do have a second component to this podcast that is very important. Dragon, do you want to elaborate?
I would love to elaborate there, Magnum. We like to drink a little bit while we do this. We like to have a couple cocktails, if you will. Craft beer or anything, doesn't matter. So we like to do that, just kind of gets the conversation going a little bit, and we like to drink. What do we got this week, gentlemen?
I can start us off. So I'm going to be partaking in a Pink Whitney shot to get this episode started off, but then to flow through it, I have a vodka water with... It's a lemonade vodka water, essentially. It's a vodka water with a lemonade-flavored enhancer, I suppose. It's fantastic, though. So, Pink Whitney, let's go.
You love those Pink Whitneys.
You know what? I do.
Fair enough.
I thought he was going to try and make a case, but no.
You're allowed to like
some. On that note, I guess, keeping it pink, I have a cranberry pink lemonade with vodka, and it is fucking delicious. It's got a nice, like, sour aftertaste. It's just, and you can't even taste the alcohol, and I put 2 fucking ounces in here.
Ooh.
Ooh, feeling dangerous this week, Envy.
It's 2 ounces.
You don't even have a mustache and you're going aggressive, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, the missus was getting a little fussy about it.
Too much fun? She's having too much fun?
Doesn't like the mustache, right?
Tickles too much, you know?
Too much fun? Okay, well, I guess I'll finish this off here. I'm just going with the go-to, my new go-to right now, just some gin and tonics. I got the diet tonic water going. And some gin. I put it in a pint glass this week, so I don't have to run back and forth to keep refilling. So I got a few ounces in there. I don't know. I just kind of freelance poured.
Bartender porch.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That looks about right. Okay. Fill it, top it up with tonic water, and away we go.
We do feature our drinks, our drink mixes. If you want recipes to any of the drinks that we feature during our episodes, you can go to Instagram or Facebook, like us on Facebook or follow us on Instagram. We have the recipes up there with what we drink each week. Sometimes there's some pretty interesting stuff. Sometimes it's pretty basic, but informative nonetheless. We got the ratios that you need.
Oh, yeah. If you have any suggestions too, just throw it on up there. We'll feature it,
shout you out. So, I mean, I guess we should get into this week's topic. This is the Ricotte structure.
Ricotte.
I should preface this. I'm not going to be leading this one. So we're gonna hop into it. We're going to get into the basics here and we're going to see where it goes. This is a weird topic because basically we have this geological formation in Africa that's been dubbed the Ricotte structure, also called the Eye of the Sahara. But some people allege that it could be the location of Atlantis. And yep. I was shocked at the information. I may or may not be a believer by the time we get through this. I'm curious to hear what you guys found.
I think that should definitely be the question for the end, is whether or not we believe this is Atlantis.
So I like how you just went really bold there. Like, I just need to get this off my chest right now. I am 100%. On the fence. just so everybody knows, just so we're clear, I'm going into this 100% on the fence.
No, like I'm kind of leaning in. No, I said I might be a believer. I need to hear what you guys have to say though, if you're gonna swing me one way or the other.
You
I'm here for a good time.
Fruitcake.
Not a long time.
So the Ricotte structure, also called the Guelb El Ricotte, is in Africa. It's in Mauritania, also called the Eye of Africa, the Eye of Mauritania, or the Eye of the Sahara. So the reason it's called all these names, it's a circular foundation, basically. It's a crater. And most people believed initially that it was due to an impact from an asteroid or something like that. However, through geological studies, numerous scientific expeditions in the earlier years, we have discovered that perhaps that is not the case.
Yeah.
So
I want to add, so I will have in our cover art, I'll have an image of the structure, as well as probably, you know how there's like people like fan made art of what Atlantis looks like.
Yes.
So I'll probably have them both in the cover art. So if you're interested in, if you don't know what the Ricotte structure is, you can go on Instagram. We'll have that posted on the cover art episode. And it's eerie how much it represents what people think Atlantis looked like. I do want to say, like, also just because we're talking about the location, like the Mauritania, it's kind of like basically, okay, you know how like Africa is shaped like a horse head?
Yep.
Okay, yeah.
Basically where it is, it would be like on the neck of the horse.
What?
Yeah, that's where the Ricotte structure is. So it's...
Yeah, it's northeast, west, northwest.
Northwest, yes.
Northwest, sorry.
So it's like on the horse's neck, of Africa. Mm. That's kind of where it's located.
Yeah.
I thought it was like the eye, but never mind.
No, it's called the Eye of the Sahara because it's in the Sahara Desert. But it is not the Eye of the Horse. But that would be wicked if it
was. That would be insane.
That would be pretty awesome. So like this thing's also like huge. Like so this is a 40 kilometers in diameter.
Yeah.
25 miles for our American listeners.
Nice.
and it's like, so like Envy was saying, like a lot of people thought it was like a meteor, but through all these studies, there's just years and years of different types of rocks and all this stuff that they found, like sedimentary rocks or whatever. And like just so many layers of it.
The first research took place in 1930s to the 1940s when it was discovered. And over the years, they've done different research. So like there was another expedition in 1952, one in 1960, one in 1950s, 1960s, one in 2005, and one in 2008, and most recently one in 2011. So each scientific expedition has improved on it thus far, and basically we're getting closer to pinpointing exactly what it is. Initially, as we mentioned already, started off as a crater, but now there is evidence of structures, perhaps inhabited structures around the crater. There's some in the crater too that have been discovered. So what? Archaeologists are, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Whoa. Okay, we need to, we're in the basics right now. That's a pretty big bomb drop. Fucking, they found structures, like geologists.
They found structures
and archaeologists
using aerial surveillance. They have not actually gone to unearth it. And this is within the last 2 years that they've found this through aerial surveillance. So, you know, what? if you're driving over a crop field or something like that, you can see where there is like stone or structure like things under the ground because the crop doesn't grow as high. So you can tell immediately that like what structure is, and you can see the basic shape of it too, because the crop grows into that direction. Now, the cool thing about this is the way the stone and sediment and all the dust and rocks formed, one of them they've actually left like skeletons of where the structures used to be. So they've found a total of 4 structures so far through aerial surveillance.
That's huge news. And they're trying to get people
out there to take a look at it. Now it looks like castles, honestly. Like it's a square shape. There's some triangular shapes, but it is really fucking cool.
Okay, that blew my mind because in my preparation, So let me just add to this for a second. So this is Mauritania, where this is. I know the government there. It's somewhat hostile. So they're not keen on having archaeologists come in and like dig up the place. Although if you're a tourist, this is a tourist place. So you can actually go to the Rykot structure if you want. And like someone will drive you out there in a truck and you can like walk around it and shit and come back. Actually, there's a guy on YouTube. He's called Indie Archaeologist or something. It was actually fascinating.
I watched those too.
Yeah, he went out there himself, like boots on the ground, and was like, I'm going to try to figure some shit out. But basically, my understanding was that the structures that you – to say it's Atlantis, you'd have to have some evidence of humans having lived there. So structures like a megalithic structure would be the perfect evidence. But I was of the impression they weren't able to find any of that. And in addition to that, they believed that the structures were very minimalist, very primitive. Like they didn't think that there was megalithic structures. If there was a society there, they thought that maybe it was, you know, like using like rocks and stuff to like build huts.
Yeah.
Like absolutely. They didn't think it was like these megalithic shit. And which maybe I should even preface
Atlantis then.
Yeah. Which it still actually could be. It could be, but the
Atlantis
megalithic structures would
be
huge.
This- Well, yeah, but I mean, if it was just like little stone huts, wasn't Atlantis this big, beautiful powerhouse city? Like that's what it was.
If you're referencing Plato's work and Plato's writing, then yes, that is what
it is. Let's drop that.
But okay, so that's actually a huge proponent of this, of Atlantis, is Plato's work. Plato ended up citing some other stuff that actually was found later on in time. And one of the things he talked about a lot was Atlantis and how it was a civilization that was brimming and booming. And basically Atlantis had upset the gods. They had grown too fond of themselves. They thought too highly of themselves, and the gods sent out a Cataclysm's destruction and ended up destroying this. And the destruction in this case was a giant tsunami that sunk the
city Atlantis
below waves.
Yeah, and that was after they invaded Asia, and they tried to take over the world, essentially. And Athena, the city of Athens or whatever, defended themselves or something like that. I don't know the whole story, but essentially, yeah, they got too greedy. And then, yeah, like Envy said, the gods punished them.
Well, there's a lot you just said there. I just want to linger for a second. Or just go ahead and finish.
We should linger on that. So Athens was a Greek city that was formed way after Atlantis. So I don't think that's the city it was referencing.
Well,
Athena is the goddess. She's a goddess.
Maybe I'm pronouncing it wrong.
She could have fought back and actually started the cataclysmic event because they were so full of themselves, and this is like a punishment towards them. But the cool thing about Atlantis is, according to Plato's work, it's supposed to have existed 9,000 years before Plato himself.
Yeah, no, it's super old school.
And this is where things get super fucking cool, because we're going to have to go into the Göbekli Tepe.
Göbekli
Tepe, yeah.
I'm pronouncing it Göbekli Tepe. Okay, let me try it again. Göbekli Tepe. Is that what it is? Göbekli Tepe?
Göbekli Tepe, yes.
Or Tekke. Göbekli Tekke or Tepe?
Tepe.
Göbekli Tepe. Tepe. Göbekli Tepe. That's right. Okay, but before we get into that, I need to linger here for a little bit. So basically, the main evidence for Atlantis, it largely comes from Plato's interpretation. Now, what Plato's describing, though, it's not his firsthand experience. He's interpreting another ancient person that predated him. The guy's name, I think it was Solus. Basically, we're hearing a story, like a secondhand telling of the story. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's not direct. Plato's telling what someone else was saying, and he's writing about it. And he's saying that there was this great city, and he describes it kind of thoroughly. And a lot of his descriptions, proponents of the Atlantis, of the Rycott structure being Atlantis, a lot of what Plato describes correlates with the Rycott structure. That's kind of where it's at. Mm-hmm. So like basically the whole interpretation, if this is Atlantis, rests on Plato's description. The whole thing, literally, at least in my research.
So
yeah, very much so.
Sorry,
I just add one more thing. Yeah. So one of the most interesting things is, I think this would date it 9,000 to like 12,000 years before Christ, like BCE. That's kind of when they're thinking Atlantis was. So there was people didn't think that there was civilizations that ancient, but there is archaeological evidence now, like you just said, with the Göbekli Tepe, that would say there actually is these ancient civilizations. Like, people were more advanced than we thought. And Göbekli Tepe is a great example of that. What is it, 12,000 BCE?
Yeah.
Or 10,000? Or I don't actually have the number.
It's around 12,000. So the ones they dated, they found several different structures around the same area. And they date anywhere from 9 to 12,000 years,
so
predating Plato himself.
So that would put it right in the time slot. We can't say that there was a civilization at the Rycott structure, but we can say we know there were civilizations at that time that were megalithic. Can we say that?
Absolutely, yeah. So the Göbekli Tepe are actually monolithic structures. So two things happen here. One, it does say that Atlantis is now possible because it is around the same time period as this. And two, it says that Plato's work could actually be true. Like,
it could
his interpretation of Atlantis and his writing of Atlantis could actually be true. The carbon dating has been done on the Göbekli structure, and it is actually located in Turkey for those of you who want to go look that up for yourself. So they have dated this, they have confirmed, and this is where we get into some of the issues with Mauritania to begin with. So as we mentioned, Mauritania is kind of like a war-torn, poverty-stricken place. So their government is not actually allowing researchers and archaeologists to go in. And the reason we've had new advances here is because of our aerial surveillance. So you can actually go on Google Earth. You can search up Mauritania, zoom in on this structure, and you can actually see for yourself the outlines of buildings in the structure and around the structure too.
How do you see those outlines? I don't understand.
So part of my research was actually looking into going on YouTube and looking at some of the people who are like intern sleuths and looking this up. And there's actually a couple, I forgot their fucking names, researchers that ended up looking at this too. And they literally zoom in live on Google Earth and they show you the structures which they're talking about. So right now they found four inside the structure and they found three on the outskirts.
But like, I don't understand what they're using to identify a structure. Like, how would you be able to say that there's a structure?
Okay.
That's what I'm not getting.
There's a term called stone tooth. And what this refers to is being able to see rock formations underneath the soil. So it's either jagged. So it's like jagged rocks. And that's supposed to be the remnants of walls. So these you can actually see from aerial surveillance through the sand and through the dirt, because it's just on a higher thing. So you can actually see like physically structures like squares, you can see circles, triangles, and looking at those and comparing them to other structures that they found throughout archaeology, they have accurately determined then that those were either houses, they were grand structures, they were castle-like, like giant size,
Jesus
castle-like
Christ.
Formations.
Okay, that's
so
crazy.
Super, super cool.
I think that's really awesome. I feel like I'm not 100% convinced on the science there. I feel like you have to go actually do a dig at wherever these locations are that they're pointing out. And I see what you're saying, but I just feel like the Rycott structure, just so I can describe to listeners what it's like, picture a bullseye. So in the center, there's like a raised platform. So picture like a red and white bullseye. The red would be like a raised structure. So the earth is literally raised at the Rycott structure. And then the next, the white one is dipped. And that's where sedimentary rock has been eroded away, because how the structure formed, where everything is uplifted, I guess it's like they call it like the igneous rock or the morphic rock, whatever the other types of rock are. And they don't erode as well. So the sedimentary rock eroded away and makes up like the white parts of the bullseye, where the red parts are like the younger rock that was preserved. That's like geologist. I'm not a geologist.
There's some like magma buildup in those layers or something like that too. And that's what's forcing it to push up.
Yeah. So that's why you have, so basically
or maybe not
what
magma, but something like that.
Well, that's what formed the igneous rock. Magma.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's why you have these. It looks like a bullseye with the white part being lowered and the red parts being raised. So you have to think, maybe I can just add something here while we're in this point. At the time, this is in the Sahara Desert. So you might be like, well, how the fuck is it Atlantis if it's in the Sahara Desert? 9,000 years ago, there's plenty of studies you can look at. The Sahara Desert wasn't a Sahara Desert. Like it had lakes. It had rivers.
Yeah, even earlier than that.
It had like vegetation. I looked at some brief people that were talking about studies with this, and there actually was lakes right at the Rycott structure, literally the same location. They hypothesized that there was lakes here.
Yeah.
And there was also a river system that went right through it. So if we're talking back 12,000 years ago, it's highly likely this structure was submerged, but because it's like this bullseye, like the red parts are land and the water wouldn't raise over top of it, but the white parts would be full of water. So picture like a bullseye that's just covered with water, but the red parts are the land that people are living on. Mm-hmm. That's why people think it's Atlantis. And geologically, the lakes and the rivers actually line up with this based on the research I did. So
and that is actually super accurate. So according to Plato, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was also going to say they also found like seashell, I guess like fossils, like the people who have gone and like they've found like that
organisms.
Fresh. Yeah. Thank you. So it makes you believe that, well, there probably was a lake, then it dried up or Like, at least there was a lake there and it dried up or something, right?
Mm-hmm. How else would you explain finding freshwater organism fossils at the Rycott structure?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I guess a skeptic would be like, how can you trust the person that found that clam or whatever, or like the fossil? Like, how do you know they just didn't find it somewhere else and brought it here and said they found it there? I don't know. Yeah, like, I haven't verified these
things.
That's
a valid point, yeah.
But I'm gonna go at face value and assume, because I think they actually are in, like, there's a museum that shows some of this shit. I'm gonna say that they actually were valid. So, yeah,
so the thing is that the biggest issue is actually getting archaeologists and more scientists in there now in today's day and age, because the government just won't allow it. The Mauritania government is not allowing it. They are poverty stricken. They want to make money off of this, so they're only allowing tourists. And even then, it's super sketchy for the tourists. Like, you can get robbed, you can get killed, you can get whatever on the way there. Like, it's a dangerous place. But the reason that they had so much success with it earlier was that wasn't the case, because this was mostly owned by Britain. They were a powerhouse then, and they could actually just travel and send researchers everywhere. So that was an issue back in the 50s and 60s and stuff.
Well, I mean, I can kind of see where the government's coming from, because this, like, it is a really beautiful tourist draw, right? So why would you want it to come and get dug up and all this stuff? I mean, I know for us, we're like, well, we need to know if Atlantis was there. Like, I get that. Like, but I kind of get where he's coming from. I mean, I guess you don't have to rob the tourists. I'm not like, I'm not like condoning that, but setting up the digs and all that stuff, and ruining this pretty beautiful, it's really cool.
Here's
and stunning
the thing,
to look
though,
at.
There have been petitions. So with the archaeologists and with the scientific researchers who want to go in and actually start digging this up, they would fund that themselves. The government, their government would not have to pay a thing. They would have to halt tourism. But once it's excavated and they have found these structures and they can like actually like show them more, that's going to attract more tourism. Like, that's
it's going to be huge. If they found megalithic structures here, oh my God, it'd be insane. It would actually be such a legitimate evidence that this was Atlantis. It'd be huge.
Yeah, so like the government not allowing researchers in, I think, is a mistake. And they're not there's countries around the world who have structures that are cool and that people want to go in and excavate and like dig them up themselves. The government's not allowing it because they believe that the company or the country in question who sends the researcher is going to be responsible for the fines. So then they essentially get first take on the fines. And that's why the government's not allowing them in. Which is fucking stupid. Like, fucking make a cash deal and get in there and fucking do this. But we need to go back to Plato's work and talk about the structure of Atlantis. Plato's descriptions describes Atlantis as a circular city with water flowing through the city. And it's
like
in terms,
alternating water. Yeah.
Yeah. So it goes
concentric
water,
circles.
Land, water, land, water. And then the middle, you have your main megalithic structure, like your castle or whatever you want to refer to it as, again, as land. So you have these alternating water, land, water. It's all a circle, and you have one main path leading up to the center structure. This, the Rycott structure, is nearly identical to what's being described in his work and what researchers and other people who have drawn up Atlantis assume it would look like. It fully supports it.
So I think, I just want to add to this ring.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
Plato, he actually specifically says that there was two concentric rings of land and three of water. And the Rycott structure actually matches that. Like, you would have your centerpiece and then you'd have three water and two land. It's insane. And I want to add one other thing to this that's even crazier. So the diameter of Plato's description and the actual diameter are so fucking close. It's insane. So Plato, he had measurements. He called them a stadia, which is approximately 607 feet. And so he was like, he had an estimate, and I think he said it was 127 stadia. That's what the measurement was. And that converts to about 23.5 kilometers. And I think I think like the actual distance is 23.5, like the diameter of the outer circle. I think it's actually 23.5K. So like it was like eerily accurate. Like if you look at Plato's description of Atlantis, he's like the outer circle, 23.5K. If you convert the stadia, like his weird metric. And if you actually go measure it, like you can go measure it on Google Earth right now. That's what the diameter is.
Yeah.
So that's pretty strange. Like that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I feel
me.
Like that's more than a coincidence at that point.
Like that's,
or yeah, if no, it is, it's a big coincidence.
Like, what are the
it's
fucking chances?
Super fucking cool. But like, so my thing is, people are like, people will automatically describe this. They'll say that, oh, no evidence has been found. There's been no researchers, archaeologists going in there, and they haven't dug anything up. Well, the reason they haven't dug it up is they're on, like, as we've mentioned, is they're not allowed in. But yeah, within the last 2 or 3 years, we've had aerial snapshots, and we can see structures. We can see stone tooth structures there, meaning we can see stone walls underneath the ground, the way it's elevated.
Actually, I was just browsing this video you sent me, and it's actually kind of crazy, the structures that you're seeing. There's, if I were to describe to listeners what they look like, they're squares and triangles, and they look very, I don't know, like it's very evenly made. Like it doesn't look natural.
Yeah.
I don't actually know what the, like, I don't know. I'm not versed in this at all. But it does look like there's some weird fucking structures. I don't know what they are. I think it would be very interesting if you went to the Rycott structure to investigate what they could be.
It like, is really cool because they found several of these. And they keep finding more because a lot of people are jumping on this train. They're like, oh, no way, no way. And they're going in and they're finding more. And then they're reporting to like to this group and stuff. And yeah, it's...
I think someone has to go there and dig at one of the sites. Like that's like obviously the main thing. Go fucking dig and see what you find.
Yeah. So another big thing too, what Plato said, he said for Atlantis, there was these beautiful mountains behind it with beautiful rivers coming through the mountains. Like it was just like really amazing, you know, thing to see. And at the Rycott structure, there is mountains around it.
Yes.
But you can, and then also kind of like we mentioned the Sahara Desert wasn't necessarily always the Sahara Desert. There was this big, beautiful river that basically went across all of Africa and had dried up. So same with these mountains, in the mountains that are there today, they say that you can see where these rivers used to be.
Yeah. No, you can't,
that they,
the erosion,
that they dried up.
You can see it.
Yeah. So that's another thing. This one's a bit of a, also Plato said that Atlantis had a lot of elephants there and they found elephant remains in the, or fossils or whatever.
That's a good point. Like in his description, he said that there was elephants and they actually found like, you know, fossils of elephants. So
yeah.
It just corroborates the story a little bit more, which is good.
It's
exciting. I don't know though. Like there's a lot to it that's hard to say. I do know. I want to add one. If we're talking about Plato right now, I have one other thing to add. So there was this guy. His name was Herodotus. He's considered the father of history. So I guess he was this ancient historian, and a lot of scholars, they believe that he was pretty accurate in his interpretations of things. So, he had a map that was this region of Northwest Africa, and it was 2,500 years old. And on the map, there's a location on it that he spells Atlantes, Atlantis, except an E instead of an I. Like we usually spell it with an I at the end. He spelled it with an E. And that location is exactly where the Rycot structure is in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's pretty crazy, because this guy, apparently people say his documents are pretty accurate, but I do have a caveat I need to throw in. This Herodotus guy, so this map showing that Atlantis is at the same location, he didn't actually make the map. He had like descriptions, and people like made a map out of his descriptions. So like you have to throw that caveat in, because it's not like, you know what I'm saying? But the people that used his descriptions to build the map, that looks like where it is. And that's just like a crazy coincidence. Like, that's crazy to me.
You can only have so many coincidences. Just saying. But again, talking about the Rycot structure, there was a topographic reconstruction done of the Rycot structure. So this is not in relation to Atlantis. This is just a reconstruction done on the topography based off the rocks and some of the fossils and stuff that was found there. And it is said to have brown bedrock, yellow and white sand, green vegetation, and blue salty sediments, as well as some fresh water.
What said that? Sorry, I missed that. What?
A topographic reconstruction of the Rycot structure.
So it's suggesting that there was a...
That there was brown bedrock, yellow and white sand, green vegetation, blue salty sediments, and fresh water.
Yeah, the fresh water is a huge thing, because that goes again to the lake. Mm-hmm. Hypothesis. So, I mean, the Plato also mentioned that this was formed both by nature and by, like human effort, basically.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not like we're saying like humans made this Atlantis. What we're saying is it was like a natural formation that humans exploited. Mm-hmm. And it makes perfect, like, it is. It's a natural geological formation. It's a huge anomaly. Like, you don't have a structure like this other places, as far as I'm aware, this huge bullseye structure. And the fact that at the same time Atlantis has been alleged that there was a river flowing through here and fresh water, and we have freshwater fossils, it's kind of crazy.
Those timelines line up so well, right? Like,
yeah.
Obviously, when you're dealing with stuff like so far away, or like so far in the past like this, like 9,000 to 12,000 years.
It's a long time.
But I mean, that's a good, like, if you can pinpoint it to that, like that was a long time ago. So if you're pinpointing it, it's pretty close to that. I feel like that's pretty damn close, like in the grand scheme of things of stuff like this.
It is pretty close.
Kind of like how you keep mentioning it as a bullseye. I read that NASA, when they teach their astronauts, like when they're coming back into the space or into the atmosphere, that they tell them they use the Rycot structure because you can see it from space.
Yes. Yeah.
So they use it as a bullseye, essentially. Like if they're
as
like
a mark.
Yeah. If they're like, my understanding was like, if, you know, shit's going south and you're falling back into, you know, and you're panicking, it's like, look for the Rycot structure. That's what you're aiming for.
Fucking SpaceX starts landing fucking rockets.
Yeah.
In the middle of the Rycot structure.
So this is actually a cool little thing. Currently, most of the rocks that can be found at the Rycot structure, because this is the topmost rock, is intrusive and extrusive igneous rocks. And this is significant because they include rhyolithic volcanic rocks, garbose, carbonates, and most importantly, kimberlites. Now, for those of you who don't know, kimberlites are rocks, volcanic rocks, that can contain diamonds. So they have diamonds on or in them.
Oh, no. Are you saying they found evidence of diamonds at the Rycot structure?
Yes.
Holy shit. Okay, that adds... You're probably going here. I'm cutting you off hardcore, because I do know Plato was saying that there was an abundance of metals, copper and gold. So the fact, I mean, that doesn't include diamonds necessarily, but the fact that there's fucking diamonds there, and Atlantis was supposed to be this like wealthy city that was like highly advanced for the time. Holy shit. The fact that they found diamonds?
They found diamonds. And this is recorded. Wow. Like they found it several times, But it's also one of the reasons that Mauritania does not want archaeologists going in there, because the diamonds would be exploited like other countries in Southern Africa were.
They don't Leonardo DiCaprio to make another movie.
Blood diamonds, man. Yeah. Well, in this case, they're not red. They're white, but they could be red too. But yeah, it does contain kimberlites, which is that's insane. Like, they should be fucking funding this themselves now. Like, I get that they're poor. Like, fucking take a loan from like one of the bigger countries. Go in there. You'll be able to pay them back like immediately.
Sell a couple of those diamonds, and they'll be.
And
all
you
right.
can unearth potentially the greatest discovery of mankind.
Yeah.
Or you can just do like a Baltic Sea thing where you just like claim it. You just know that it's, you just like make it up. Just like, even if you like dig, even if you don't find anything, just be like, oh yeah, we found Atlantis.
All of our instruments just failed.
Yeah.
They have ancient magnetic properties.
We didn't have
shout out to episode 7, call back to episode 7, Baltic Sea anomaly.
Yeah.
Check that one out.
We didn't have enough shovels. We couldn't dig far.
Just like looking at the topological rocks, so these are the topmost rocks that you can go there and just like really pick up by hand. Like, yes, these do include the 5 igneous rocks, and it has tons of other elements too. So like, I mean, in Plato, they mentioned that had like silver and gold, copper, metals. If there's diamond there, there's very likely that there was gold, silver, and other metals there. But just maybe deeper down.
I can't say for certain, because like I just don't know, and I didn't see anything on that. But that's super interesting to me, nonetheless. I have another thing I want to add. What we're talking about.
Yeah, go for it. Shoot.
So I do know the center island of the Rycot structure. I found that it had a fresh spring water. Like, there's fresh spring water that flows there today, still. So Plato had mentioned that they had this center island that had, you know, water and shit. And the fact that you can still find fresh water in the center that's very peculiar. That's very peculiar. I mean, it kind of overall, I mean, it's hard to deny that this was a lake system at some point. Yeah. Like, it's hard to deny that, because that's what it's not just what we're saying or people are speculating. Like, there's Nature Papers, which is regarded as one of the most prestigious academic science journals. They're publishing papers saying that 9,000 years ago, there was lakes in this area.
In this area.
And rivers. So it's not like you can't really deny that. So it's just interesting. Yeah. And you could totally envision the water filling it up in such a way that it matches what Plato was saying,
that it created this circular
structure,
I guess is what they call it. And
yeah, for those who are thinking like, oh no, it still is a meteor, like they can't prove it, well no, in 2005 and 2008 the two research groups they sent out that actually got out there and did the research and dated this, they 100% determined this was not an impact site, that it was naturally formed geological movements.
They also they're not like they felt like there's some evidence of like mini like volcanoes erupting or something like that. Did I read that wrong?
I think there was something about that.
So there,
but I didn't
look into present.
What's that? Sorry, Envy.
There was lava present there, and like that's what the igneous rocks are. So there's still lava actually underneath, like flowing underneath the structure, but it's really far down. But
we don't actually know. Like, is it flowing or is it already hardened? And like, that's what helped create the structure.
According
I don't know. I don't fucking understand rock formation and stuff. Like, that's not my
expertise.
According
to what I found, it said that lava flows hydrothermally and tefaciously. So like, I'm thinking it's still flowing, but it's not enough to cause issues.
Okay.
Like it's,
I thought they
it's
had
far,
a cup,
it's deep.
Well, I guess wouldn't see it in the. You don't see it in the. I must have misread it. Probably. Yeah, like there's a whole lot of rock talk in a lot of the research, and I can only read about rocks for so long.
Archaeologically, they have found 100%. Like, they have evidence of. I'm going to butcher this. Acheulean artifacts. And what Acheulean artifacts are, they're stone tools. So tools that have a handle and, like, say, a stone or knives or stuff like that at this location.
They found tools.
They found tools. Acheulean tools.
That's huge. That's actually huge, because that means that there is evidence that there was communities
some sort of
something living there. Yeah. So Acheulean means the stone tool manufactured by characterized by distinctive oval and pear shaped hand axes associated with Homo erectus and derived species such as Homo. Oh, I'm going to butcher the last part, so I'm not even going to say it. But yeah, and they found Neolithic. So they found these still preserved, and they have them in museums.
They also found Neolithic spear points.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So what we can say overall, based, like, we still can't really confirm things, but we can say in that area for sure that there was primitive human communities based on the tools that are found. But
and then again, if just going to timelines again, so the Neolithic period, so that's the final division, for people who don't know, the final division of the Stone Age. And it began about 12,000 years ago. So, I mean, again, the timelines are just kind of working out here.
Yeah. And I do want to mention, for we have a very interesting way of looking at things. I know when people say civilizations and say, like, these structures and ancient civilizations, people think of, aliens, flying saucers. No.
Is it in a fucking episode of Ancient Aliens?
Yeah. So civilizations.
So back off.
I feel like we need to mention this. So a civilization is just, we can confirm that, like, a civilization is a group of inhabitants that have a thinking, they have structures set up, and they're working class, basically. Like,
it's a social structure of humans working together to survive.
There you go. Reproduce. Thank you.
With a couple basically. Aliens.
Thank you.
Well, so, with a little bit of aliens. Elon Musk is just
Atlantis. The way it's portrayed in some shows and movies, they show it as a super advanced, like, ancient technology that we can still use today's date.
That's a good
case.
That's a good caveat, just in case people weren't aware. Like, no, we're talking about, like, primitive human societies 12,000 years ago.
That predate, like, anything we've known elsewhere, so...
Yeah. So I have, I want to add a couple things. So I don't have these, there's probably not a lot of merit to what I'm going to say here, but I just wanted to shout it out because I just really liked that this guy, this indie archaeology guy, went out there to, like, investigate himself. And he did find some, you can't say for certain what the fuck they are, but it looked like carved megalithic building blocks. So he did find this one rock. It's pretty big. I don't know. Like, I would say if you were to picture, like, the size of a TV, it's probably that big, but just wider. You know what I mean? And it does look very rectangular.
How big a TV we're talking about?
Just like someone's regular big screen TV. Like, it's
50-inch, probably 65-inch, 70-inch. Like, come on.
Listen, I don't know. I'm just throwing out. I'm trying to put a picture. And it does look like it's this carved rectangular structure, which is kind of, you know, I'm assuming a geologist would be like, oh, yeah, like, that can be formed naturally. Like, that's not that impressive. And it probably isn't. But he did find a big, like, rock that was rectangular while he was walking around out there.
Did he find multiple of them? Because that'd be... Explain this.
No,
geologist.
I think he just,
they're just,
I think,
like,
he just
stacked on each other.
No,
with, like, grout,
no,
lines and stuff.
He just found one.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I'm saying, like, I don't know how much merit you can put to it, but I just wanted to, like, that's pretty fucking interesting nonetheless. Like, it's something.
Absolutely.
Same guy. He also found this pot. It was a small pot that he found. Not that he found. He bought it from someone. Because there's communities that live near the Rycott structure still. Like, they're pretty primitive communities. Like, they live in like, stone structures that they've built and things.
Mud huts and stuff, yeah.
And someone had this pot, this small little cart, like, fashioned pot. And this guy bought it. And he sent it for testing, actually. He had, like, a company test it. It's called Thermoluminescence. And they can date things and find where they were from based on this test. And it turned out this pot that was found at the Rycott, allegedly found at the Rycott structure, it looked like it was all the way across in South America it originated. So what that means is, yeah, and it was dated to, I think what he said was like, it wasn't 9,000 to 12,000 years ago, but it was like 2 or 3,000 years ago. I'm not getting the numbers 100% right, but that's kind of what it was. So he was thinking like, what the hell is this pot from South America doing in Africa? So it might, it's not the best evidence. It's just one thing, but that might mean that there was transatlantic voyages way before we thought,
That's even before the Vikings.
Maybe there was trade. Maybe there was trade. This is super speculative. We're talking about one pot he bought from someone. Maybe they found it from somewhere else and they just lied about it. But let's assume it's all truthful. That would be a pretty crazy find, that there was actually civilizations trading that far apart. That could be crazy.
That'd be huge.
I don't know. It's super interesting to me, like the ancient civilization stuff. Like, we think we know, but we really fucking don't. We really don't. There's a lot to be discovered still, I think. I don't know.
There is. There definitely is a lot more to be discovered. Yeah, hopefully there could be some digging that happens. Hopefully the government there, you know, loosens up and allows people to get in there and dig.
I mean, we can reflect on it. We could get into final thoughts. Do I think that this is Atlantis? So I'm not convinced that this is Atlantis. Let me explain why. So number one, we have to put so much weight on Plato's description that it's like too much. Like, I need something to corroborate it. Like, if there was a couple historical documents, like maybe Plato mentioned it and then like someone later mentioned it and someone else mentioned it. Like, if there was more mentions of it in this history, it'd be better. It'd be way better. But we're hearing it through, it's like a secondhand story of
that we're
something
now getting
so long.
9,000 years.
Yeah, exactly. So it's right there. I'm already highly skeptical, but here's what I will say. Do I think that an ancient human civilization inhabited this location? I say yes. If we want to label that Atlantis, maybe we can label it Atlantis. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was something different. Maybe it has nothing to do with Plato's description. Maybe it does. I don't know. But do I think humans used this structure to live? I'm somewhat convinced. And the reasons I'm convinced is because of the fresh water system that was there, the river that flowed through. And to me, it would make perfect sense that there's probably like, you know, fish in this area. So like there was things to eat. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like there was, it was abundant. Like this was lush back in the day. Like there was vegetation, and it's such an interesting structure. And if they're finding diamonds and stuff, there was probably like precious substances. I can't say if it was gold, copper, or silver, because we didn't find that. But there could have been, and it's, you know, there's a mountain, so maybe there was some stuff, and it was a rich, wealthy area that everyone congregated. I don't know. And the fact that they're finding these spearheads, and I forget what the technical term was for the tools.
Stone tools? The Acheulean artifacts?
Yeah, the Acheulean artifacts. That's super interesting to me. And then also seeing these, I don't know how much weight to put on it. A geologist might be able to debunk it really quick, but that video you sent where people are pointing out these structures underneath the ground, that's enticing to me. So I do think there probably was a civilization here. I think the only thing we're missing is doing an actual archaeological dig to verify. Like if you found human remains there, or you found like a burial site, or you found like a megalithic structure underneath or something, that would change everything. It'd be like, for sure, this is probably, I don't know. I'm skeptical to call it Atlantis, but like a civilization probably was here. In my opinion, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't have a lot to back it on it. Like, cause you know, I'm just doing, we're doing Google research. So like, I don't know. There's maybe a bunch of ways to debunk this. I don't know, but I'm going to go with it. I think it was, I think people lived there.
Yeah, I think people live there too. I would say this would be a front runner for where Atlantis would be.
Like, it's perfect. You know what I mean? You could defend enemies off and shit easy there.
It'd be like everything made sense. all that type of stuff. Like even just the location of where the Recot structure is, like it's just off the ocean, right? So,
well, it's decent. I think it's like 250 miles from the ocean.
Well, that's perfect, right? But so it's not right on. It's not right on the ocean, but there was at the time rivers running.
Rivers,
you know, from the ocean. So it's perfect, right? Easy, like you said, you defend this. You're so close for people for trade, right? You're still
right.
You're not like super inland for trade, so you can become that powerhouse. Because even if you look around the world now, New York City, you know, Los Angeles, all the big cities, they're big because they're on the water, right? Because that's how it started. So makes total sense to me that this location. It works. It makes sense. The river running through, I think, and like the rivers in the mountains and the freshwater fossils that they're finding there. I agree. I don't think you can argue that there at one point was a civilization there. You have to put a lot of faith into Plato's research and his scripture, I guess. But you know what? I'm going to say, fuck it. Yeah, that's where it is. Tell me I'm wrong.
My man.
Boom.
So I like to hear. Well, I guess that leaves me. And I do like both of your explanations. So I'm just going to add on to it a little bit. The reason I believe this is Atlantis is we are going off of Plato's work. We've talked about the size of Atlantis, which... I mean, according to Plato's work, this is 35.5 kilometers?
It was 23.49 actually, but I just said 23.5.
Okay, sorry.
In diameter. Yeah.
So we have that lining up. We have the maps lining up. Then there have been two main arguments against Atlantis being here. One is that it's too old and that civilizations could not have existed back then. However, the
Göbekli Tepe completely debunks
that. Immediately debunked that. The other one that Western civilization seems to really be up for is that Atlantis was an island that sunk to the bottom of the ocean through some sort of natural disaster. However, that has also been debunked because we would be able to see that with the radar and with visual photos from satellites, we will be able to determine where that is. And according to the Western civilization of where they thought it was, it does not exist there. So that's completely been debunked as well. It was never a fucking island. So
that Atlantis was never an island?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it leads us back to the Recot structure. I 100% believe this was Atlantis. They found the tools. We've determined the size of it is correct. The age of it has been debunked, and this could be existent. We've found fresh water. We've found vertebrae fossils. We found vegetation fossils. Yeah. It's Atlantis. Fuck it.
Another thing, too, is like Atlantis, we're saying or assuming it was destroyed by a natural disaster, and it's alleged that it was a tsunami. So if that was the case, you'd need to be relatively close to the ocean for that to happen.
Yeah. The thing I actually did think about that and like I don't have any evidence to back this up, but let's just theorize because fuck it, we're Swerve Podcasts. We're not professionals. So if you're near the ocean and let's assume that there's this huge tsunami for some reason, and obviously like the rivers would start, it would start flowing, like that flow would flow through the rivers, right? So let's say the rivers get overwhelmed and, you know, they're just full of water now. So there's more water being pushed to the Recot structure. I mean, people say it sunk under the ocean, but in theory, right, if the red parts of the bullseye are the land and the white parts are the water, if all that water has to do is rise up over the red parts of the bullseye and then it's submerged, and it's not that crazy. Like if you have this overflow of water coming in from rivers and you're right like you're in a lake basically, and that lake gets higher because there's more water now, it's not that crazy to think it's probably pretty easy for that place to be submerged. Like even have, like, look at New Orleans. Like everyone has these structures that like prevent, like these levees that protect them from floods. you think this primitive civilization, let's assume there was a primitive civilization there. What are the chances they had like levees to like protect them and shit? Yeah. Like, no.
Well, and also tsunamis are insane. Like, it wasn't the tsunami of Japan. Didn't it move like the entire island like 6 feet or something insane like that?
Yeah, we're talking like crazy shit. Yeah, I think that's accurate. Yeah.
Well, if we're talking about water rising, the way the water rises and tsunamis are formed is from tectonic shifts. And we are talking about a city that is around. We found volcanic rock there. So we know that there was lava there at some point. There could still be like deep underground. So that's volcanic action. Thus, that's earthquakes. So if there's earthquakes, volcanic action, that could have easily risen the water without even there being a tsunami. That could have just risen the water. There could have been a giant earthquake there that just shook the water that was already there around and destroyed some buildings.
Sunk it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's super interesting. I'm hesitant to say it's Atlantis, though.
Say it.
Don't be soft.
Don't sit on the fence.
Yes or no?
I'm not sitting on the fence. I'm saying, like, I think that there was people living there. I just don't know if the label Atlantis, there's enough there for me to call it that. Like, if we want to just call it Atlantis, be like, oh, this is the mythos of Atlantis. This could have represented it. Yeah, we could say that. But, like, is it literally Atlantis? Like, was Atlantis a literal thing in the past? I don't know. I didn't have enough research to back it. But the fact that quickly, I think there was people there. I think there fucking was.
I think there for sure was people there, for sure.
I agree. Just quickly, the Göbekli Tepe, I just looked it up. It was stated at 9,500 BC. Would make sense that Atlantis would have existed around that time too.
Well, maybe. I don't actually know. Wasn't it? Didn't we say 12,000?
Well, we said 9 to 12,000
It was. Everything was kind of like in that range.
It's just a range, okay.
Well, because you're reading rocks, so I mean, I don't know. Like, that's
I think they get pretty fucking close when they look at rocks.
I know, like, they get pretty close.
The most ancient civilization we know of is Mesopotamia, which is 5,500 years ago. And
Göbekli Tepe is older than that.
No, I know. I mean, before Göbekli Tepe was Mesopotamia.
Right, right.
And Göbekli Tepe outdates that by 5,500 years. So,
isn't there another? Didn't they find megalithic structures somewhere else, or is Göbekli Tepe the oldest? I thought there may have been another one.
Stonehenge was 1,500 years after Mesopotamia.
Okay, maybe I don't know. I didn't do enough to know, but I thought they did find another place.
I would not be surprised if they did, but my main point of conclusion was that Göbekli Tepe did exist too, so that kind of debunked everything else for me.
Yeah, I mean, I will caveat the whole thing. I didn't actually look into anything that, like, any debunking aspects of this, so I'm just rolling with it. Like, there might be someone who wrote like a really good essay somewhere that's like, no, this is why this is wrong. This is wrong. But I didn't look at that. So I'm all in.
I didn't find anything like that. So
did you look for that though?
Like, I actually, debunks? I did look for debunkers.
Yeah. Let's see what their arguments were. None.
Well, not all of them, but I did look into it.
Okay.
I did not.
Yeah. This is a crazy one. I'm excited.
Fuck them.
I'm excited. I would go there, but I'd rather go somewhere else, actually. Like, there's nicer places.
Yeah, get shot, raped, or fucking...
Yeah, I don't want to go there and
get some disease from a mosquito.
The one guy's video, he's like, I'm risking every hepatitis known to man by being here. I
was like, oh yeah, and there's like flies around him the whole time and shit. And I'm like, all right, well... I'm glad you went, and... I mean, maybe we can amplify him a little bit with this podcast. I think he was asking if people are interested in going on his next expedition out there. This indie archaeology guy, go on YouTube, check him out. He wants to go back, and he's looking for a team. Like, he wants to go with people and have more boots on the ground to like look at shit. So who knows? Maybe we send someone there. Let them know the Swerve Podcast sent you.
We'll send you guys with some stickers. You guys can go and dig
and
for
alcohol.
Us.
Get some
and
selfies.
Some hot sauce.
Yeah.
So let's roll out then. Thank you to Sidestepping the Sun for making the intro and outro music to the podcast. That's super appreciated. As always, unofficial sponsor, El Yucateco Hot Sauce. Great fucking hot sauce. I just love spicy food. And I feel like if you like spicy food as a listener, you're probably going to like El Yucateco because I like it. So it's a habanero-based hot sauce. It's king of flavor. It's zero calories. And I throw it on, I eat it most days, like almost every day. It's that good. So just letting everyone know, if you need a hot sauce, that's it. And we're going to keep shouting them out until they sponsor this podcast.
And hey, you can help us out by going on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, tag at El Yucateco, tag the Swerve Podcast. Let them know you heard about their hot sauce from us. Once we do get that sponsorship, we will share that spicy, delicious flavor with you. We'll send some of that love in your way. And it costs you nothing. So just fucking go out there, let them know. And then while you're doing that, you can also consider subscribing to our Patreon, where we have two exclusive tiers. We have our $1 Ride That Wave tier, gets you never before heard episodes, and I'll get you numerous shouts on the Swerve Podcast. Then we have our $3 tier, our Slap That Ass tier. This tier will get you never before heard episodes. It gets you numerous shout outs on the Swerve Podcast. And most importantly, it gets you early motherfucking access to every single episode. This includes Patreons. It includes main episodes. It includes post swerves. You get it all. You get it for a fucking dollar. You can get it for $3. And hey, I would like to take this opportunity to thank our valued Patreons. Thomas Go, a realtor. You should go buy your house from him. Sidestepping the Sun. Satan Loves You. Giant Cock. Humpy Joe, and a new mythical being, Max Barnett, who created his own tier. He created a $10 tier, so hell, can any of you fucking beat that? I would love to see you try. These are titans amongst men. Let's see you get on their level.
We also have a sticker promotion going on. Is that still going? Yeah, it's still going. So what is it? You leave us a 5-star written review on Apple Podcasts, and we'll send you some 3 badass stickers.
Hell yeah. You can check the stickers out on Instagram, Facebook. We feature them with our drink recommendation or our drink posts every week. So they're good shit. They're weatherproof. Throw them on whatever you need to throw them on, laptop, car. They're free. Easy. It's easy to support us that way. It's just, 5-star written review. Super easy. We'll send you some shit for free. Fuck yeah.
Pretty good. And even if Patreon's too big of a commitment, did we do the coffee thing? Buy me a coffee.
I don't know.
Did we? Well, we. I don't know.
I mean, if Patreon's too big of a commitment, we do have a secondary option. You can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com, where we will take your donations. We'll buy some fucking coffee beans. We'll grind that shit down. We'll give you 10, 20, 30, 40 cups of caffeinated entertainment. So consider doing that.
Topic recommendations.
Topic recommendations.
Please send topic recommendations if you have them.
Drink recommendations.
Drink recommendations. We'll take that. We'll feature it on an episode. We'll shout you out. I don't have anything else to say.
I got something to say.
Oh, you do?
Ooh, we're both on it. Slap that ass.
And ride that wave.